So we're speaking about the seed of God. That's in every one of us. Now, God just said he put the seed in every plant. In every tree, he put a seed. Not two seeds. Only one. He didn't have to put a male seed and a female seed. He just had to put a seed, that's all. Because every seed is male and female. And when you drop that seed into the ground, it knows exactly what to do, because God created it to do what it was intended to do. So if you eat a mango, and you plant a mango seed, what do you think is going to grow? A mango tree. Of course. You won't get an orange tree from a mango seed. You only get a mango plant, you see. So if God planted a seed in you, that seed is Christ.
Yes.
You hear that? It can't produce anything else but Christ.
Yes.
And if you will understand what this means today, like the Virgin Mary, she said, well, I'm just a little virgin girl. I'm not married or anything, and you tell me I'm going to birth the Son of God. And the angel said, I am, and you live. It's not if or but you will produce the Son of God. Every one of you here today can reproduce the Christ of your true identity.
Amen.
Because the seed of God is in that Christ.
Yes.
What does Galatians 3:16 say? God was speaking not about seeds as of many, but one seed, which is Christ.
Amen.
And that seed has been planted in the soil of your body. Because your body is made from the dust of the earth. That's all it needs, a little dust. And that seed in you will reproduce. And so Mary turned to the angel and said, how in the world can this happen? Because she understood how normal birth takes place. She knows that there has to be two things involved for natural birth. There has to be an egg and there has to be a seed. And the man supplies the seed and the woman supplies the egg. And when they come together, there is the conception. And that's the beginning of a birth. So here we are today. The angel is saying to you, you are going to bring forth a son. But this is the Son of God. Think about this. To be able to birth the Christ, not as a physical baby, you understand me? Not as a physical baby. Mary did that because that was a very special event. That was so that Jesus Christ could become two things. He already was the Son of God. But through Mary, he became the Son of Man. The Son of Man. So she showed us how it happened. Because she asked the angel, how in the world can I birth the Christ? Well, let's hear, because he's going to tell you here. And he said to her, verse 35, he answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God, that's El Elyon, the Most High God. The shadow of the Most High God will come upon you. You remember when Abraham, he had just won that great battle against the kings of the valley and released his nephew, from the hands of this man, this tyrant. And he defeated him in a battle. And when he came back to where he was staying, there was someone there to meet him. And his name was Melchizedek.
Yes.
Amen.
And Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God. And that priest had come all the way down to the earth to visit a man called Abram. Isn't that amazing? See, so you understand now what we're talking about with the mind.
Yes.
If you use the wrong mind to read the Bible, you will never understand the truth. This mind here, which is your natural mind, your carnal mind, the Bible calls it, is an enemy of God, so it will never interpret the scriptures for you correctly. So, you need to use the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Because it's the mind of the Christ that will tell you the truth every time.
Yes, amen.
And the caterpillar will never become a butterfly.
Yes.
Unless he has a new mind. Because the mind of the caterpillar says, I can't fly. But the mind of the butterfly says, watch me. And off he goes.
Amen.
It's a different mind. That's all you need. And if you have the mind of Christ, you'll be able to do exactly what Christ did when he was on this earth. You won't do it through this mind. He'll tell you, you can't do that. You can't do that. There was a couple that came to me, actually, it was in Africa. This young couple came to me and said, Brother, can we talk to you privately? When I heard this word privately, I pricked up my little ears and thought, hello, what's this all about? Why do they want to talk to me privately? And I said, oh, okay. So we went into a quiet corner by ourselves. And this young couple had only been married a short while. But the man said to me, Brother, we have a problem. I said, what is your problem? She said, we have AIDS. You know that disease called AIDS?
Yes.
Which is spread throughout the entire world. We have AIDS. Brother, can God do anything about AIDS? I said, sure. It doesn't matter whether it's AIDS or a headache or an ingrown toenail or something like that. It doesn't make any difference. They said, well, would you pray for us? And I knew why they wanted to be privately, talk to me privately, because in the church that they were attending, if the elders found out they had AIDS, they would be sent out and not allowed back into the place. But do you know that in Africa, there are millions and millions of people with AIDS? Not because of any wrongdoing on their part, but because if a woman has AIDS, all of her children are going to be born with AIDS. And that's what's happening. We have many, many people now in Africa, hundreds, thousands of them, have AIDS for no reason other than their mother had it before they were born. Can God do anything with AIDS? So I just put my arms around that beautiful couple. And I just lifted them up unto the Lord. And we believed together that that thing, that evil thing that they had feared in their heart be released or be taken from them, and they be released from his power. You see, this is how it works. It has to do with the mind. Age cannot affect your Christ mind because it doesn't recognize it. It doesn't recognize cancer either. Only this one up here. Doctor says you've got cancer, and you go home and you tell her, oh, I've got cancer. The doctor said, you know, I've only got so long to live and they can't do anything for me. And what's he do? He sits down and cries until he dies. Why? Because he's using the wrong mind.
Yes.
But today you could understand, beloved. You pastors, listen to this.
Amen.
You better transfer from this mind up here, which has been trained, first of all, by your parents. As soon as you are born, they start to tell you, don't do that, that's wicked, that's evil. See? You do this, and so on and so on. They were the first ones that began to make you mortal by believing everything that was, to them, not good. But see, when we understand that the mind of the Christ, and what does the mind of the Christ really mean? It means that I am not afraid to tell people that I am equal with God. Not because Deswald has been a good man, not because I'm a Christian, not because I gave my heart to Jesus, not because I did anything, but because Christ dwells in me.
Amen.
And he is my identity.
Amen.
You understand? And it's his mind, if Christ is in me and Christ is my identity, that is my mind.
Amen.
And you will never know Christ is in you if this is the only mind you're using.
Yes.
Are you hearing this? It's so important. So important. And if you want things to change in your life, it's a change of mind, not just changing your mind. You know, that's what many people say. That's what confession of your sin is about. It's changing your mind, saying, Lord, I realize this is not good, so I'm not going to do it anymore. No, no, that's all. That's crazy talk. That's just up your head. But see, the mind of Christ says, I can do all things through Christ who dwells in me.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Well, let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ. Who dwells in me. But you never said it. You see? Because there's another mind which says, oh, wait a minute, that might not be true. Is that really true? You see, that's what it is.
The intellectual mind.
Yes. This mind will stop you, and it will try to stop you from ever using this mind. But this is what redemption is really about. I want to tell you that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he took you into death with himself.
Yes.
And if he took you into death with himself, it was partly, at least, an important issue of the cross was that mind, which is the carnal mind, which is the mind of our mortality. That mind says you were born and you're going to die. He took that onto the cross and took it into death. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, help us here. You see, I mean, we tell people, give your heart to Jesus and love him and confess your sin and he'll forgive you. Now you'll be a son of God. rubbish. You will never experience what it is to be a son of God until you are using the mind of the Christ. This one up here will bind you forever to your mortality. Lord, help us. So this is what the angel said to Mary. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God, El Elyon, the Most High God, he said, will overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of thee will be the Son of God. Now you see, you don't have to do what Mary did. She had to actually produce that baby because he needed a body. But Christ is now in you, and your body does not belong to you, it belongs to Christ. So we don't have to form his body again. We don't have to provide another body for Jesus Christ. We don't have to provide a body because we've already got the body. This is the body of Christ. Your body is the body of Christ. So he doesn't need a new one. He just needs you to quit running that thing as the king and letting the Christ become the Lord, the owner, and the king in his kingdom to rule over you. That's what the Christian life is really about. You see, that brings about the changes that we know we need in our life. Jesus Christ said, the things that I do, you, and you, and you, and you, and you can do also. Why don't we do them? I'll tell you. Because this mind up here says, you can't do that. That was him, because he was Jesus Christ. Well, who are you? You are Jesus Christ too today. The Jesus part is the man, and the Christ is the living Christ of God, which is the same as the Father, dwelling in that body.
Amen.
You see? And I have learned that before I ever saw a miracle in my own ministry. I've seen all the miracles of Jesus, but not to the extent that I want to see it. I want to live long enough so I can walk down the road just like Jesus did. See a man with a withered arm and just say, stretch out your arm, and he stretches out his arm, and Jesus kept on walking. And he comes to somebody that's got leprosy, and they're crying out, oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because that was a terrible disease. I've worked on a leprosarium. I ministered to a leprosarium in Australia, the last one we had, which is now extinct. It's gone. I think leprosy has died out in Australia. There's no more that's come. But I want to tell you, I told those people there, you don't have to have leprosy again. Actually, many Christians said to me, aren't you afraid to go over there on that leprosarium? It's on an island, you see, and nobody's allowed there because it's contagious. I said, I'm not afraid. I can't catch leprosy. Why? Because Christ dwells in me. So I went over there without a fear in my mind at all, and saw Christ doing some wonderful things amongst the people. So it's interesting now. Come on in, front seats are free, back seats are half price. Wonderful. Okay. So the Son of God was born. Now let's go back to John's epistle. The epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1. John the Epistle, just before the book of Revelation. Not the Gospel, it's the Epistle of John. Chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. You see, one of the problems that Christianity has in this world today is that people live only in the present. But do you understand that there is no present or future or the past in God? It's all now. There's nothing else. For God, we are living in the now. That's important for us to know. So he says that which was from the beginning, because if we don't understand the beginning, then I can tell you that we're not going to understand anything after it. Don't put it right on me.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. He's a wonderful man. Amen. All right. In the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen. Listen to this. There's something from the beginning which we have heard and which we have seen and which our eyes have looked upon and our hands have handled. What is it that you have seen from the beginning, that you know from the beginning? What is it that you've heard from the beginning? What is it that your hands have handled from the beginning? What is it? It's Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, from the beginning. He's not 2 million years old. Because you were born in God, you were born in God, and you were in Him in the beginning, and that must have been millions of years ago. I mean, we're not just talking about time, because they didn't have any time. Some of the dates for our early Bible, for Genesis, I think some of them were just guesswork. I don't know whether they could really work it out. But they say that there is Christ of God. And you see what it says here? That you have seen Him, you have heard Him, that's heard His voice, you have looked upon Him, and your hands have handled the Word of life from the beginning, Jesus Christ. Say is an academic level. That is, from our natural mind, we we say, now if you would do this and this and this and this, and maybe something else if you join a different church, then you can become a Christian. I want to tell you, there is nothing in this world for you to do to become a Christian. I preach the gospel all over the world. I have no plan of how a man can become a Christian, except that you understand what you were from the beginning. That's all. Christ is your identity. Christ is who you are. And Christ became part of God in the beginning, before the foundation of the world. Think about that. For this life was manifested, verse 2, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we showed unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made known unto us, which we have seen, and that which we have heard declare we unto you. And that which we have seen, and that which we have heard, we now declare unto you, so that we can fellowship together. See, it's all to do with fellowship. We can't fellowship if we don't understand the beginning. You can't. Because in the beginning, there was no boys and girls. We were all one in Him. You understand? See the day, but we've got men and we've got women today, and we've got to deal with both of those. Then we've got some people, that are not educated. See, there'd be some people who you can bring in here today, and I could talk for 2 hours and they wouldn't know a thing that I've said because they have no knowledge of my particular language. You understand this? See, there's so many problems we have today. So many problems. But it doesn't matter. There's still nothing to do to become a child of God or a son of God. How in the world could anybody on this planet become a son of God? I mean, you're all my brothers here today. You know that? All you've been here, my brothers. But see, you're not my brother legally from the natural point of view. Why? Because my father wasn't your father. Your father wasn't my father. So you couldn't be my brother in the natural sense. But in God, every one of you are my brothers and sisters. In fact, there's nobody on this planet that is not a brother or a sister to me. Are you hearing this?
Oh, no. Okay.
Well, I want you to turn with me now to Acts chapter 17. We've got to begin to understand some of these things, beloved. It is so important. Otherwise, we're just going to keep preaching a gospel that's not going to see any real result. Okay, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And God hath made of one blood all the nations on the earth to dwell. Did you hear that? God has made of one blood all the nations on the earth to dwell.
Oh, Lord, help us.
What does that mean? It means that all the nations of the earth, the Greeks and the Spanish and the French and the Romans and the English and the Philippines, and the African people, and everybody else on this earth, has come out of the one. The one Father. You got this? This is reality. This is
the Christ mind, not this one.
The Christ mind tells me that God is one. He has created all of humanity out of the one. One Father.
Isn't that wonderful?
What does that mean? Every man on this planet is my brother. Every woman on this planet is my sister. Why would I want to hurt my brother or hurt my sister? You understand? Let's see, crime only comes when a man's mind is so confused that he can't see anybody else but himself. And then he thinks that he can do to you and me and anybody else anything he likes. He's a free mind and a free thinker. This is so very, very important. So, God has made of one. Of all the nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and determine the times for appointed and bounds of their habitation. But look at verse 28. This is an amazing verse. You should have this one underlined about 20 times by now. Listen to this. In Him, in God, we live. In God, we live. Did you know that your life is founded in God? It's not founded in your mum and dad. It's founded in God. Now you see, your natural mind says, no, I was born from my mother, and it's my mother and father that actually produced me, the egg and the sperm. I said, wait a minute. Before I was ever born on this earth, I was born of God. I came out of God. God is my father, and in God I live. From this world. Nothing in this world produced me. It was God that produced me. And this body is not my body, it is the body of the Christ who dwells in me. Oh Lord, help us here. In Him, in God, we live. Verse 28. And in God we move, that is, we function. We function in God. Now listen, this mind up here is of no use to you whatsoever if this verse is going to function in your life. Why? Because it's the mind of Christ. I live in God. That's not this mind, it never told me that. That's this mind, the mind of Christ. God, He was created before the heavens and the earth were even made. You were in Him. In God we live, in God we move or function, and in God we have our being. Verse 28. Certain also good folks said, we are also His offspring. That's a very, very lovely word, offspring. Because it really is talking about something that's come from a certain point. We've come from God. So whatever God is, that's what you are. Most people, and myself, all I was interested in when I was a young man was getting saved so I could go to heaven when I died. And that's what 99.9% of Christians want today. That's
That's all they're interested in. They want to go to heaven when they die. Lord, hurry it up, you know. I don't mind, Lord. But it says here, forasmuch then, this is verse 29, forasmuch then as you are the offspring of God, you ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or some idol that you've got standing in the corner, graved by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he calls every man to repent. Every man. God, you function, and in God, you exist. Back to John, let's go back to John now, chapter 1. And it says here, well, the life was made known to us, verse 2, chapter 1, John's epistle, verse 2. The life was made known to us, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and has been made known to us. That when that which we have seen and heard is what now I'm going to preach to the world. That's what John's virtually saying. So if you're a pastor, this is what we need to teach the people. Because much of our preaching is not achieving anything. There are millions of so-called Christians in this world and millions of churches. Many of them, their life is so much the same as the rest of the world. Oh, they may not go to the same, same degree of ungodliness, perhaps, as others. But their life is not much different. Because if it was, I'm looking out there every day. I want to look until I can find a man that 5,000 people will follow. Why? Because you're going to give them all $1,000? No. Because you've got the word of truth. Because you've got the power to set them free from their illnesses and so on. That's what we need to see. Every Christian, not just preachers, God help us. See, 43 years ago, I just cancelled my my name on the roll of the church. I said I don't want to belong to that anymore. Not the real church. I'm not talking about the real church. I'm talking about the church. See, there is a real church, but the real church are those who fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then I can come and join, I'll sit down with you and I'll join with you and we can have a wonderful time together. And I'm not going to ask you whether you're Baptist or whether you're Philosophian or whatever else. I'm not even going to ask you because it doesn't make any difference. But our fellowship, this is what John said, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not fellowshipping around a set of doctrines. We're not fellowshipping around a set of laws. We are fellowshipping around the Father and Jesus Christ. That's all. That's wonderful, isn't it? So, it's interesting then that the Apostle John should say, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that's with Christ, and we walk in darkness, he said we're not telling the truth. We're lying. If we say we're having fellowship with him, but we don't walk in the light of God. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we feel so free. Because God didn't just say, I've forgiven you sin. So pure that he cannot look upon sin. So he doesn't. Why? Because it's not an issue. It's not an issue. And if we say that we have no sin, this is now changing the tune a little bit. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The writers, of course, John particularly, was a member of Israel. So he's mixing a little bit of the concept of Israel as far as God is concerned. But remember that the children of Israel never knew Jesus Christ. They only knew God. That's all. Because Christ had not been revealed until Abraham came. And he was the first man. He wasn't called Christ, but he was the first man that represented the Christ. So, today is a new day in God, and God is doing a new thing. So, beloved, I'm going to ask God that today the truth that you have heard might remain in you as an active power, the truth, to set you free. So, would you just stand with me as we just pray together? Father, as we stand in your presence, the presence of the living God, Father, I ask that there may come upon this congregation the sweeping wind of the Holy Spirit to just come and blow through this meeting here today, that every person here will feel the flow of that breeze, that wind, the Spirit of the living God. Father, grant today that the holy anointing oil that was poured upon the priest in the days of old might today be poured upon each one of these people, that Father, the anointing of the Holy Spirit would flow down over this body and causing it to become truly the body of the Christ, and that Father, we will begin to be able to demonstrate the Christ of God dwelling in a man, showing to the world this is who they are and this is what you can do. Lord, help us today and bless us, Lord, each one. Open the ears of our understanding and cause us to know you and to know his life eternal. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.